Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be together this evening. Thank you for what you want to accomplish and do through us, through your word, through this class. Thank you for what you can do only. And we praise you that you will keep your servant out of the way, that you can say and do whatever to whomever. Pray for Ed, Lord, as he went through an aneurysm, and that he is okay, yet there are so many other things in the family that has happened. We pray that you will allow your spirit to intervene to heal, not just physically, but spiritually. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We all say,
amen.
Praise God. I was at the doctor today. Didn't have to go for treatments, but I had to go down to the doctor. And the last treatment last week with the triple dose of treatment has kind of ballooned me out. And I had lost, 50-some pounds. And today, I had gained back 40-some pounds. And I think most of it was water weight. I'm kind of like walk around wobbling. So you got to pray that we can find out what it takes to get rid of a lot of this water weight. It's like, I would feel like a blow, what is it called? Hootie the Blowfish or whoever that is.
Hootie.
Hootie. Hootie and the Blowfish. That's a group, right? Yeah, I'm really into that.
Have some more water.
Well, are we ready to begin the class?
Yep.
Literally, begin the class. This is where we usually start the class. So we're going to walk through. First thing we're going to do, we would do the introduction, the interviews, when we introduce everyone and talk about what's going on. When I first wrote this class, I had it down in weeks. Week one, week two, week three. After we got to week two, we realized we can't name it weeks. We had to turn it over and say, well, I think we better move that out a little bit. And, so it got worse and worse, and we kept adding. So it went to phase. Phase one, phase two, and we stuck with it. Phase one, introduction, testimony, overview, history, vision, purpose. Antioch was started by me being pushed into starting it. I didn't want to be anybody's senior pastor. I care less about being a senior pastor of a church. I was a youth pastor, loved it with all my heart. Even the first 7 years after coming to Antioch and was the senior pastor, I was a youth pastor for the first 7 years of the church. Because I kind of figured that I worked with the kids, and then one day, when the Lord let me, I worked with adults, and then it wouldn't be any reason to have youth ministry. We have the parents do it. Amen?
Amen.
But that's where I was. I was at Westminster Chapel as the youth pastor over there. We had about 400 high schoolers there at the church. Had 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. I had 32 adults working with me in the high school ministry. Every one of them had discipleship groups. We ran our own church in the high school. It was a training ministry. And a lot of the kids and people here at the church today is from the youth group from Westminster that is running ministries and our pastors, and was an absolute fabulous thing. And I kept running into what I felt that the Bible said the bride of Christ should be. And, of course, when you think you know what the Bible says, you want to tell others. And, of course, a lot of the leadership and a lot of other churches didn't like it very much. And eventually, Mark Webster, myself, and Dwight England, who was all on staff at Westminster, decided that something is going on. And I had promised that I would never start another church in the city if I could leave on good terms. So I just didn't think that it should be done. And when it got, we started having some problems with one of the new pastors they brought in, the senior pastor brought in. And so I started a Bible study on the side for adults after I left Westminster. And it kind of took off. It went from, started with 15 people, then it went to 40 people, then it went to 80 people, then it went to over 100 people, and it kept growing and growing and growing. And everyone started saying, we should start a church. I go, all right, go ahead. I don't want one. And we ended up the first Sunday at Antioch with, I finally submitted unto the Lord to go ahead and start the church according to what I thought the scriptures were saying. It was cross-cultural. I think all white church is unscriptural. I think all black church is unscriptural. I think all brown church, all anything church, you can't find in the New Testament. So I was going, why do we have all white church with one chocolate chip in it, which happened to be yours truly. And so it was challenging. So we started Antioch as a cross-cultural ministry that looked the way it's going to look in heaven. It's going to be all kindreds, all colors, all nationalities. And so I'm going to go over what the Bible has to say. People say there's not going to be any colors in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. We're going to know that we're different. We may look the same, but we're going to know we're different. We'll all be spirit. So we started that first Sunday with about 150 people. Mark, Dwight, and ourselves. We started off as co-pastoring, and eventually I ended up being the senior pastor because I was bigger than both of them. And I wanted more money, humbly. I was the only one that was, Mark and I was both single when we first started the church. Dwight was married. He had the most responsibility. So Mark and I, whatever came in, we divided it. In chunks, we gave most of the money to Dwight, and I had a dog, so dog food was easy. Mark didn't have a dog, so he didn't need any extra. So we divided up three ways. The first year, I think I made $600 a month to run the church, and that's what we lived on, and that's what we did to make sure we were going to have the church that God wanted us to. The vision was cross-cultural from day one. It's either going to be cross-cultural or we were going to shut the door. God allowed us to do that. We've been that way ever since, and we're not going to stop because I just felt that that's what the Bible taught. That's phase one. Are you guys glad that phase one was so quick this time? Phase two and three, which we'll be starting, is Scripture, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You can understand why that would take more than 1 week. But we used to do it in 1 week. One week, we would just go through it. It was like it was a waste of time. I mean, what in the world are we doing trying to get through this great information so people will come and because, you have that idea that a new members class is a new members class. It's Kool-Aid and bad stale cookies. Get folks in, tell them what we're doing, and then move on. I mean, but if you're going to, our philosophy is, and still is and was, that if you're going to be a member of Antioch, you had to serve. You can't join the church without grabbing a ministry and being in a ministry. And that if you're going to be in a ministry here, you need to know what the Bible teaches. And you need to know where we stand and how we stand. And if that's going to be the case, we better educate you a lot better than what the average class was. So I rewrote it. Like Tim the Tool Man, going to rev it up a little bit. Put some more engines in there, more horsepower. So I kept rewriting it. I don't know, Karen, how many years did we?
I don't know
what the overhead. So we walked through the point where we had to change how we did the whole class. So how many classes have you been? How many years?
12.
Been 12 years she's been serving. Her and Denise have been serving the longest, and then Lanita started a couple of years ago. So she could teach the class, and she thinks sometimes she ought to. And she'll come up and go, don't forget to tell them about this. Get off my case, will you? So we're going to talk about Scripture. And then if you notice, right after Scripture, we're going to talk about the Trinity. What is the only thing that's true about God? What God said is true about Him. Everything else is what? Idolatry. You're going to get the greatest example of the best idolatry you've ever had in your life when we talk about the Trinity. It's going to blow your mind that the Trinity is so scary to folks trying to understand it, but it's enough revealed that you can walk and accept it. And I'm going to give you, I think, one of the best examples that I could ever come up with on what the Trinity and how the Trinity works. But even though that is true, it's still what? I can't hear you.
Idolatry.
Why? Because it comes from me. Okay, so don't forget that. We're going to talk about God, Father Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And when we get into that holy triangle, it's going to blow your mind. So we're going to ask the question, who is the greatest in the Trinity? And you have to qualify your answer when we get there. Amen? Hey, sister? I can't get you to say amen louder when I say amen. Hey, woman? Phase 4, depravity of man. That don't even sound good, does it? Depravity. You know, there's some words that just go along with it, like pig. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That just brings you down. You just know that that's not a good term. Someone calls you a pig. Onker. Depravity. That just comes along with some nastiness, doesn't it? Depravity of man means there is nothing good in man. Okay? That's what the Bible says. There's no good in us. Not one good thing. How you feeling about yourself?
Good.
Good, good. You guys are sick. That's why baby, you don't teach babies to be selfish. It's in their nature. That's why they wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning. Feed me. Feed me, Seymour.
Hit the little boy's house of horrors.
House of horrors, baby. We are there. Put 5 kids in a room, 2,500 toys.
Yeah.
They all end up wanting to play with what?
One
toy. Boys, totally made different than girls. Depravity. Doesn't matter. You see, I love parents that try to protect their kids from guns. Have you run into parents try to protect their kids from guns? Boy, pick up a doll, shoot his sister with it. Yeah. He gonna find something to break and kill. Girls, all conversation, everything they do, all they know is based on conversation. Boys is just noise. Depravity. We live depravity. Salvation. If we are totally depraved, how are we going to be saved? What is the thing that leads us to be saved? What does God have to do to bring us to salvation? What has He proposed for you and I to reach that salvation? Most phenomenal thing in all the world, what God has done to bring us from being totally depraved to being totally accepted, forgiven, and eternal life with Him. Woo-hoo! Can I have an amen, somebody? Can I have an amen, woman? Okay. Eternal security. Woo-hoo! Nasty word in Christendom. Don't teach the security of the believer. It makes them lazy. You got to be kidding me. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, number one, it's true. It's a biblical truth. Number two, you need to know about the biblical truth. Number three, you ought to be glad you don't have to be running around on bicycles like another group I know trying to get that salvation. Can I have an amen? I snuck that in on you. I hope most of y'all know what I'm talking about, too. You know, I'm a sick person, right? It has been established. I am literally a sick person. And I used to... It's like I had on my door when I first came to Seattle. Well, everyone kind of knew because they had put in this paper. I wore a T-shirt when I first came up to play with the Hawks. It says, Hutch is going to Seattle to do God's battle. That kind of got the attention of the city when one of the Seahawks come up here with a T-shirt like this. So most of the people knew me when I got in here with this strong Christian ethic I'm supposed to have. And it's kind of like all other religions kind of go put up the cross, you know, the swastika on my door. But every now and then I would get a Jehovah Witness or Mormons or whatever would get to the door. And then it was fun. I had this big Doberman. I mean, Warlock was huge. Warlock was the name. See, I'm glad you asked. What was the first thing you asked? What kind of name is that?
Yeah,
right?
That's pretty aggressive name.
He was extremely aggressive. Nasty. But I got in all the schools. He was so well trained. I don't know if you guys ever remember the back in early they made a movie out of a Doberman's robbing a bank.
Yeah.
Called The Doberman Gang. Remember that?
Yeah.
The old movie. My dog was supposed to be one of the dogs that was in that movie. And I was playing ball, so I couldn't go down to Hollywood, and he wouldn't put up with anybody if I went around. So I kind of missed out on having my dog a movie star. But Warlock, everyone would ask, says, man, why would you name that dog Warlock? I said, easy. I said, you know what a Warlock is? I said, well, yeah. It's a male witch. I said, watch this. And I go, plots, blight. Boom, he would lay down. He was all trained in German. Southern German. Ebonics German. And I would go, you know, pucking. And then, bam, he would, on command. And then he goes, hey, I have nothing against you. I'm not mad at you. He just told me to bite you. So that's what I got to do. I mean, that's the way he was. Just mean. I would never train. I said, and I am doing it. I would never train another dog the way I trained Warlock. He was a machine. He had no dog left in him. He was just a weapon. And this girl one time came over, knocked on the door, and wanted to borrow some stuff. And she goes, how come you don't ever talk to me like the other guys? Don't want to. Well, all the guys want to hang out and have sex with me. You don't. I says, I'm a Christian. She said, well, Christians have needs. I go, well, you may not never meet another Christian. You're going to meet one that really walks with God. And she grabs her blouse and tears her blouse open. Now, she's in my apartment, pulls her blouse open. Black man in Bellevue. With a white woman. Alright? So my Doberman came out of the bedroom. I said, watch. Bam. Now, you can't move very fast. You move very slowly. And you back out of my apartment, this dog will kill you. I only want her out of my place.
That's all you want.
I want her just out so I can close the door. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of dog it was. I said, just as I said, why I can control this dog, I will control the dog. I said, if I can walk with God, I can control Satan the same way I control that dog.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Every school, every kindergarten, I mean, TV, I was everywhere. with that dog. I got places no one else could go. And I don't know if you guys remember, I had the first Rottweiler I had was Sosco, the big Rottweiler. When they had that drive-by shooting over in Ballard, the school was just a mess. And they couldn't get it to settle down. They asked me if I would come and speak. I said, sure, if you let me do what I want. They said, well, we can't control it. We need to get this under control. All right. So I had had Sosco in the car. He was about a 145-pound Rottweiler. Had a head on him that was huge. And I got in the assembly. I said, I want to know what's the baddest kid in this school is. He said, oh, that's so-and-so. I said, okay. The principal, I mean, I know he was sucking eggs because he thought I was going to get the school sued. And I used my dogs for witnessing all the time. Brought that kid up on stage. Sosco was laying there. I said, are you bad? He said, yeah. They say I am. I said, really? He said, yeah. And before he could get really out, I go, pucking. That dog was up on him, and I had the leash, and he was in his face, just going, argh, argh, and he's just barking and spitting, trying to bite this kid in the face. I backed him up to the wall. I said, are you bad? He was shaking. I said, now if you bad, I said, slap that dog. He said, no, sir. I said, ouse. And he came out of the plots. He laid back down. I said, you can go take your seat. Spoke for 45 minutes. No one moved. That dog laid there for a whole 45 minutes, never moved. We got through. I told him, here, Foose, came up, plots, bam. I said, how many of you guys saw this dog go off? Ah, man, the whole assembly. I said, if you didn't know this dog was bad, and you saw him just laying around for 45 minutes just being cool, I said, what would your thoughts? I said, man, I said, when you're bad, like this dog is bad, you don't have to show it. I said, most of you are not that bad. You're insecure, and you have taken a child's life because of your insecurity. Turn the school around. Same thing. That Warlock was the same way. You could witness all the time with that dog.
Did the girl leave?
Was that?
You didn't tell us that the girl left.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was no doubt that one. That took place quick. She backed out, man, real slow. I said, good night. I went over the next day. I saw her drive and get off work. I went over, knocked on the door. She came to the door. She, of course, you know, embarrassed. One, the guy turned it down. Two, that put a dog on her. I said, if you never run into another Christian in your life, you ran into one last night. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Witness to her, and she was moved in a month. She was gone. She moved away. So if she ever accepted Christ, I don't know. But, you know, it was the issue of you could have blown it, your witness, or you could have kept it. God allowed me to keep it. So the Mormons would come to the door, and you when you start getting to them, beating them, what's the first thing they say? Anyone know? No. What happens when you start beating them in the argument? Because you always attack the youngest one. Mm-hmm. There's an older guy and there's a young one. Yeah. And you always attack the young one. You make the experienced guy have to keep trying to butt in. And they go, when you start getting the best of them, because they was telling me about Jesus came down in South America. So I pulled the map out. Show me. And I had it all on the wall. It was so funny. And he said, oh, man, says, we got another appointment and we're late, we gotta go. I go, we've been sitting, I listened to you for 45 minutes now. I'm talking, you gonna leave? Yeah. Yeah, come on. I says, Revere, that means watch. he sit down in front of those two guys? And you go, I said, you're going to listen to me. Of course, after that, they didn't hear nothing, but at least I got it all out, right? I have about four or five times. They had pictures up down at the Mormon temple, I think, of me and the dog. Don't go there. All about eternal security, man. You know, the things you do, if you're not secure, you got to go take that to your mission. You got to run. You got to earn. You got to always wish that your good overrides your bad. And if you can take advantage, or you allow someone to take advantage of your eternal security, I mean, you got a problem. See, I'm going to tell you right now, my wife is eternally secure when I marry. I don't care what she does. I'm telling you right now, guys, I don't care what my wife does. I would never divorce her. I don't care what she does. She can sleep with 15, 30, 40 guys. I hold accountable on that, but I never would divorce her because I committed to her. It wasn't because of what she's going to do. It's because of my word that I gave that I would, for better or worse. So she can't do anything to break my word. You see. So my wife has to spend no time trying to win me. She can take all her time to please me. Because I'm already won. See. And I don't have to spend any time trying to get won by Jesus. I'm already won. Now, if my wife goes off the deep end and says, man, he's never going to leave me. Ah, what a fool. I'm going to go out with all kinds of guys. Who made the mistake? My wife or me?
Yeah.
That falls on me. We're going to talk about that. Aren't you glad you're in the class? Phase 5 and 6. Talk about church. What is the church? What's the purpose of the church? What's going on with the church? Why do we have to be in the church on Sundays and Wednesdays and having fellowship?
Edify the believers. Isn't a picture? Isn't it the church in Ephesians 5, I believe? Isn't it the picture? The church is a picture of. No, marriage is a picture of Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm. Marriage is the only picture of the Trinity on earth. So that's why God thinks so highly of it. Marriage is what? Only picture of God's relationship with God on earth. Isn't that amazing? You talk about elders, leadership of the church. Somebody can be a murderer and still be an elder, but if you get divorced, that's an argument whether you can be an elder or not. You ever notice that argument? The reason why is because God holds marriage so high. Because it's the only picture of God's relationship to God that you can find on earth. We can talk about that a little bit, then you go, ooh, are we happy yet? Be double nasty. Spiritual gifts. Woo! That always gets stuff going. Folks will be going, Tongues. Ever had any controversy over tongues? You know what a tongue is. It's more than that thing that's in your mouth. It's a gift. Different languages. Boy, oh boy, so much misunderstanding on the gift. Don't ever look at the gift more than the giver. Okay? Ever. And it's done. Now, never, ever take a gray verse and interpret another gray verse. You can come up with all kinds of doctrine. But the guy says, I'm going to just go to the Bible and find Bible verses. I'm going to do what it says. Judas hung himself. Don't like that verse. Went to the Bible, picked another. Go and do you likewise. Found another verse. Whatever you do, do quickly. Just came up with a doctrine of suicide. watch out what the Bible says. Spiritual gifts, we're going to talk, we're going to walk through that. Mm-hmm. By the time we get through with that, if you're here, each week does what?
Builds
on the previous week. You're going to be able to talk to anybody and prove to them scripturally about the doctrine of spiritual gifts without hesitation. But you have to be here, you have to listen, you have to ask questions, you have to understand. The Bible explains it so well, there's nothing left out. The only reason it's controversial is because people don't want to know what the truth is. Okay? That's it. Charismatic churches that tell you you need to speak in tongues, only reason it is because they want it to say that. The Bible doesn't say that. And we're going to walk through that, and you're going to understand it. You're going to be able to do it, not only hear it, but teach it to others that tell you you're wrong. Christian service. Oh my goodness, isn't that just something? We're supposed to serve. Yes, we're supposed to serve. We got the highest volunteer rate right now that we've had in the history of the church. What's going on in the next period with people coming in and serving? And I think it's because people have responded to what they've heard out of Romans. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be done. The only list we should have is a waiting list. Amen? Oh, Pastor. And this is what we just finished with. 8, 7, and 8. Second event, millennium, government, and crisis. How about that? Well, Elder Rule, there are no women in our elders of rule. It's all men. Not because we think we're better, but that's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. I've got two questions for every church. Why do we have such arguments at times over why women can't be pastors and elders? And when we don't have half the men that's qualified to be pastors and elders. I think the bigger question is, why can't most men lead the way God said they should lead? Yes.
Do you look at pastor and elder as the same office?
The Bible does. One's a teaching elder. One is a serving elder. That's why most white churches don't have that pastoral staff as elders. They work for the elders. I don't see that in Scripture. All of our full-time pastors are elders.
Oh, so you don't have an elder board. Pastoral staff is the elder board.
We have an elder board of lay and teaching elders.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But most white churches, if you would look, have the pastoral staff, the senior pastor's an elder, and all the other lay guys are elders. And the staff basically work for the elder board. Mm-hmm. So you got all the responsibility with no authority. How does that work usually?
Not at all.
Don't work good. No. Our government is Elder Rule. Pastor Bill Ross, of the teaching of the word, of the Presbyterian. That's what God expects for us and out of us. Okay? Any other questions on the aspects of women in leadership? Men leading. You'll never get a church that holds women higher than Antioch. But you'll never get a church that's going to hold the scriptures higher than women. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Could you answer the question that you asked? Because I think it's very apparent that most men aren't what the Bible says they should be.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. But, I mean, that's the hardest part for me to have come to the Bible was, mm-hmm. I was like, I've never met a man like this in my life. Mm-hmm. I've met women who will hold down 6 jobs and raise 8 children.
14
and,
jobs.
You know what I mean?
Jamaican women.
You know what I'm saying? But seriously, but I've never met a man who
will really stand up and be that man that really is the strength that God expects him to be. It's true.
I think we all want to follow a man, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you're just like, I haven't met you yet. Or,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And then you know what's a shame about that? You have to say it.
Mm-hmm. It is a shame.
Yeah. That's the shame. But at Antioch, we try to build them. We don't want to go and find them. We'll make our own.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
send them to the hush camp. I will beat you down, boy. And you guys know the story of Reba McEntire's sister. And I found out that her husband was beating her. And so we was in this hotel. She was singing. She was a Christian singer. And she had glasses on one night. Sunglasses. You know, brothers and sisters wear sunglasses at night. Not many white people wear sunglasses at night. Can I get an amen or somebody? That's just the truth of it. Can I have an amen? Because, you know, when the sun always shines. Someone's hear me all right. So I said, what are you going to ask for? Oh, I got an afro on my door. Probably pull those glasses off. No, Hutch. And I go, yeah. And man, he had hit her. He would beat her like another cowboy. Wow. That's it. She said, let's go to the room. She goes, no, you'll fight. I go, I don't care. Let's go to the room. Went up, challenged him. Said, you ever hit that woman again? I don't care where you are. I'm coming and I'm going to show you how it feels. Oh, Pastor, that's so barbaric. No, that's holding the brother accountable to what the truth of God says and what you're going to be. And, you know, that's what the church has lost. We're so afraid of getting sued that we don't do what we need to do. Leadership, men. Yeah, bro.
I was going to say that you mentioned building men, that his Friday was
our leaders. It is possible. Every first Friday. It's a great, great, great ministry. We can belch and have all kinds of things. Like, guys, all right, be proud of that. That's mine. Any other questions before we move? Anything about the phrases? Phases? I keep the phrase. The phases that you've heard, seen? Okay, we ready? Goes fast when you're having fun, doesn't it?
This means I can look forward to a week of continual harassment.
Sounds like a Trekkie. I am a Trekkie. And I exist to glorify God by serving God's people of all cultures for the work of the ministry. We have impregnated that statement a little bit more now, all cultures of the world. It's because that's what it's all about, doing God's work, doing God's way. Purpose statement of Antioch. Antioch, all members ministry. New Testament model. What's the New Testament model? That's us, cross-cultural, teaching the Word of God, elder rule. All that is the New Testament model. Teaching the Word of God, we are committed to one thing here. If we don't do anything else well, we're going to teach and live the Word of God well in Antioch. Yes, ma'am.
Clarification on the elder rule. I've been a part of like congregational rule churches.
Right, so, which is unbiblical.
Okay, well, how does because of the elder rule, how does the congregation, do they just put in their opinions or thoughts to the elders and then they assess?
No, you choose the elder, you vote for the elder. Mm-hmm. And if you can't trust them, don't vote for them.
Mm-hmm. So it's the elder.
It's congregational rule. I've never seen any verse that says the sheep leads the shepherd.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It ain't gonna happen here. It's just not gonna happen.
Okay, so I was just curious. So then the elders, they determine if they want to buy a building or not, or if they want to bring on another ministry. They're the ones that make all the decisions, correct?
The ones that make decisions, true. And, you know, we always try to keep you guys informed, let us know what you think and, you know, your ideas and everything else, because, you know, we're just representing the leadership of God. And we have a 100%, we're unanimous. There's no majority votes. 5-4, 10-6, we don't know. It's all or none.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If one person can stop anything, if they feel that that's what God's leading them. That's why we're very, very careful about who we let get on the elder board, because some guys just have ego. And if we're going to be all unanimous, then we better be in tune with what God is saying. That's kind of like the the deacon that says, well, I got a problem with what we're voting on and having this is well, we need a chandelier, you know, out there. Well, I don't believe we need a chandelier. Well, it's, you know, we believe there needs to be a chandelier out in the foyer. Nah, I'm against it. He said, okay, tell us. You got any reason? I got two reasons. We shouldn't have a chandelier. So what is it? He's number one. No one can spell it. Number two, what we need out there is some light. Some of you get it on the way home and just start laughing. Intercession. We've been talking about we need more of that. More prayer, letting you guys know what needs to be prayed for, getting together. Pat and I was talking today with the way the church is being attacked and people in the church and marriages. We should just come to church here on one of these Sundays and just pull the mic out and go, okay, how are we getting attacked here? And just have the whole church, we just pray for one another. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Make it easier on me. I love to pray, but I like to preach too. It's a lot of fun. And I love watching your faces. You know, I'm the only one who can see all your faces. Everybody's looking at the back of your head. So I love that. Outreach. You see our outreach programs. Unbelievable. And most of you don't know what we're doing. Our outreach program is almost greatest, one of the greatest secrets in the whole church. You know, putting together our drug and alcohol outreach program. I mean, free, you would know, all of the MRI, the medical relief teams that's going all over the world. We are sending 35, 40 people down to Haiti. You know, we've sent 60-some people to Honduras to build a medical center. We've got people in Africa. We got kids that we're putting in school in these different countries as nurses and as theologians. And you know, you wouldn't know. Adoptions. Our outreach program is phenomenal. They're second to none. And most of us don't know about them because, you know, we just don't get that communication out there well enough. But short-term missions. Our ambassadors who's, you know, we got eight that's all over the world. It's that's the church, that's the bride of Christ. That's what we do, that's what all of us need to be a part of. And that is what this church is going to constantly do. Amen? Cross-cultural. Amazing God put a C in Antioch. Cross-cultural. We're not multiracial. We're one race, human. We're cross-cultural, multi-ethnic. That's a tough word to say. Multi-ethnic. Got to think about that. Say it real fast, 4 or 5 times. Yes, ma'am.
Are we going to do anything about incorporating different languages in worship or having translators, translation service? Because there's a lot of immigrants.
We have been pushing right now for three different translation systems. We want to look at Hispanic, we want to look at Russian, and we want to look at we want to push Somali, something from Africa, and it's each translation system. Because we're not going to have different church services where we're here at 11, they're there at 3, others are there at 4 a.m. in the morning, and they wonder why it didn't work, you know. And it's just an issue of money and getting a translator. That's it. That's my heart, is to make sure that. And English as a second language has been off the hook with me. If you want to know what my greatest frustration is not having those translations in that service every Sunday now. And I think they're about $40,000 a piece to be able to put those in here so people can walk in the service, sit down, hear in their own language, and then have a class through the week that they can go and not only learn what has been said in the service, but to learn English. So that's big on my schedule. Mm. So I need prayer, and we need prayer to make sure that happens. Mm-hmm. So if you know how we can do that better, my ears are wide open. Okay? So their plan is just getting it done. That's a great question. Others? Anything else you got? You got other stuff?
What do you think about like churches like Hispanic church? Because people want to sing in the Spanish language. It's a lot more meaningful to them.
Well, I think that it will be if you're eliminating others. Yeah. You know, and it's very difficult for us to be able to love you the way that I'm supposed to love you when. Only thing I'm hearing from you is your native tongue. Same thing with you having to walk in the church and I'm not being sensitive to you and your culture. That's what cross-cultural ministry is. There are some things that in your culture that you don't like that you have to say, okay, I put up with because other cultures does, and that thing that in your culture I may not like, but because I love you, then I'm going to make sure that part should be in the service because it's about us. And, you know, we don't do a good enough job being sensitive to the other cultures. And that's one of the things that irritates me as your pastor. But it's going to be done. We will get it done. And you know, and we should have music in your language so that you can feel good. But I have more influence in this church than anybody, I think, you know. But I don't get the music I like all the time. Because give me a good old-fashioned down-home, let's blow the roof off the sucker with some old black gospel. Get it up. Give me some 2 and 4 beat, not 1 and 3. You know. But that's not the church. That's just part of it. So I'm glad you asked that because that's a big concern of mine. It's just going to take money, time, and translators. Because no one, that's why we put the translators, that sign. We don't want them down on the floor and put everyone in one little section. We want them to be able to come in, sit wherever they want to, and still be able to see and see the interpreter and see up on the stage.
My last church, what they did with that in Arizona, Phoenix, which is Hyatt's Hispanic area, they would have electronic devices that would go into the ear.
Right, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And then they would just, they didn't, I don't think they had the Hispanic person up front next to the pastor or whatever, but they were just, I think in another room or something. But
they was in the sound room and they would translate as the pastor would speak.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do.
And it worked pretty well for them.
They just walk in, they pick up, you have the different sections with the different languages. They pick up an earphone, turn it on, put it in their ear, and they go sit where they want in the church. And
yeah.
When the preacher preaches, that's just translated for them. And that's what we want.
My uncle used to do that for Urbana had a big mission conference, and he used to be the translator in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. But we want, by the time we get through, we want, you know, have 10 to 15 different languages in the service. And what are we going to do as we are working now to make sure we get have nest in a place where we can get those and put those people when they come so we can all be together? We don't want separation. Yes, sir. Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, Denise.
Okay, I've actually been wondering, not the translation part, but the ESL classes part.
Yeah.
How many years out to see that in the future?
Well, we had one of the greatest ESL classes that was just phenomenal. We had it at Kirkland Heights with Al Villette. Just, I mean, guys, we was kicking in just 15 cylinders. It was just going that crazy. Then Giesler got cancer and passed away. And we haven't got that back up yet since she passed away. But that was, I mean, we was really going strong on that one. It was great. And the second generation non-English speakers is where we're getting our, is where we're getting most of our translation. First generation foreigners is where it's so difficult to get them to learn English. And that's why it's important to have both available for them. So you guys can pray that we can get that going, because it's going to explode. Right now, we'll probably have another 600 to 800 people at our church just by Russian translators. Because the Russians love a church that does things. Not talk, just let's do it. And I have to be very careful. I got a lot of Russian supporters. I have to be very careful about what I say and do. I mean, they're not the greatest balance at the time. And they have come up and said, "You want him killed?" we'll take care of him for you, Pastor. Don't worry. I mean, just, oh, no. We want a witness. We want a witness. Got a guy that used to get so frustrated when he was in Russia working with the police, that he would get so frustrated after hurting people and everything that he would go off on a binge about every 6-7 months. And when he go off, they would send 4 or 5 cars out to go get him. He would just beat up everybody in the bar. They would send 4 or 5 cars to go get him. And they know he's going to fight. And everyone come out limping. And this guy accepted Christ. And he loves your pastor, but he won't put up with much. But we'll have, you know, 600 to 800 people here. We can get those translations in those machines. Samoans that is here that aren't being touched. Hispanics that aren't being touched. It's a sad commentary, but that's something we got to do. Cross-cultural. Did I answer your question, Denise? Healthy worship. Healthy worship based on the Word. Okay? There's no such thing as healthy worship if it's not based on the Word. If it's not from the Word, it's what?
Idolatry.
Are we having fun yet? All right, first page, Scripture. Scripture. Yes, ma'am.
How did you come up with the name Antioch?
It was the first place that was called Christians, that we would call Christian. And it was the first cross-cultural church in the Northwest. That's how we came up with that. Do you know the number one argument about not naming it Antioch Bible Church? They said it sounded too black. Yeah. It had a big discussion for weeks. The Antioch Bible Church sounds too black. Yeah. How can you come up with sounding too black? I have Ebenezer of the High and Low Heart of the Holy Order. Now that sounds black.
That sounds like black.
But that was one of the major issues. And we didn't have elders here for almost 3 years. We had a steering committee, but we would not choose elders until we was able to see men live. Amen? All right. Scripture. Hey, baby. The character of Scripture. What now? The character of Scripture. I mean, Scripture has a character. Why would Scripture have a character?
It's alive.
It is alive. It's God. And if it has God and is God, it must have a character. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but I think Pastor Mark already went over this page.
Hey, I don't care.
Okay.
They didn't do a good enough job. No, I told them, don't start the new stuff until we get past the phrase 7 and 8. Yeah. So they tried to start, so. But they teach totally different than I do because I wrote it, so I know it a little bit better. Okay. Okay, we got it? Are you looking for where we are?
Yeah.
Just keep going left. Are you on the page we're on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scripture. That's not the page, right?
The page that says Scripture.
It says Scripture on it.
After the
articles, after all the writing, then you get this. There you go. Yeah, I know. I don't know why. I mean, you know, it would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? I mean, how many years have we had to then put a page number on it yet? So you guys write them in. Write them in and tell me what page that is. Yeah, part of the introduction. We're going to put pages on the pages. Numbers.
No. It's right there.
I know.
You got it?
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be righteous in all things. Now, all scripture is inspired. All scripture is God-breathed. Okay? Very important word. All scripture is God-breathed. Everyone understand what that means? God picked up dirt. Dirt. Molded it into man, Adam. Breathed into dirt and made it alive. That is the power of the Word of God in our lives. Without allowing God to in you, you have no life. God into dirt and it came alive. God into Adam and gave him the power to reproduce more. On a page, called the Bible is God to you and me. And if you don't allow God to in you, you won't be able to live for Him. You live an existing life without breath, without power, without strength, without. That's how we live. We exhale the bad by our confession. Inhale the good by being controlled by the Spirit of God that it may change us. God breathed His Word on a page. God breathed His Son into the world. God breathed everything that we see into existence. One breath from God gave mankind enough breath to give all mankind breath. One breath from God in dirt still exists for you and I to have children today to give life to the next. Is that a God that we serve? And we wonder, where is that God that we don't allow to in us every day by not being in this? What an awesome God we serve. Now, Patricia. What is going on? Ah! I'm going the wrong way. Okay, now. What? Okay. We're rolling now. We're going back, baby. That skipped a long way, didn't it? That's it right there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All scripture. How much?
All.
You know what all means in Greek?
All.
Doesn't matter what language it is. How much of God's scripture is God breathed?
All.
Hmm. By God, and it's profitable for doctrine. Hmm. Isn't that amazing? There's nothing left out the scripture won't do for you and me. There's nothing outside of scripture do you need to know how to walk with God. So that scripture is profitable. There's nothing unprofitable by the word of God. Feel good? Are we doing good? For doctrine. You know the average Christian don't even know what doctrine is. And when you try to, this is a whole doctrine class. The whole thing we're dealing with is doctrine. But you would never know it because you can make it enjoyable. Most doctrine classes will make you want to take a hot poker, stick it in your eye, and turn it. It is so boring. And the reason why it's boring is because we got theologians. They want to be smart, want to sound smart. I don't know Greek. God knew all of us wouldn't know Greek. It's Greek to me. Amen? But there are Greek scholars out there that I can saddle up with. But it's written in English for me. So I'm going to jump on English and the Ebonics. Yes, sir.
Would you say that the scripture refers to the Old Testament?
No. It refers to the entire Bible. It
wasn't existing at the time this was.
But it was existing, it's just one page, because God was alive. God has never been part. He's always been a whole. Amen? He's just as much a whole in the Old Testament as it was in the New. That's why Peter says about Paul's writing, they're kind of hard to understand like the other scriptures. No!
Timothy was written at the end of Paul's life, so he'd already written a lot of what he was going to write. Mm-hmm.
Are we having fun yet?
Yeah.
The Word. Is there anything greater than being able to feel the of God on us? I mean, it's can you imagine? You know how it is when you got that first kiss? Some of y'all so old you can't remember that. You can't remember your oral vicar last puckering up. There's some serious up and down lip swap and switch spit kick. Kiss me, girl. Kissing is a proper noun. Both standing up and sitting down. Kissing carries germs. It's been stated, but kiss me, girl. I've been vaccinated. Talk to me. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that feeling, that first kiss, man, after you've been holding hands for 3 weeks and it's all cramped up, and you know it's something else. I mean, that's God. I mean, that's God kissing us. You can't get more intimate than that whole perspective of what God has done by putting His Word on the page. Putting Himself on a page. That's God on a page. That's why it's alive. That's why you can read it 5-6 times and all of a sudden it speaks to you when it hadn't. That's why you cannot get out of a book about the Bible the same way you can get out of the Bible. Because it's God. It's, and he's sitting there like, he's hyperventilating. He wants to talk to you so bad. Sometimes we don't let him. We'll go pick up my utmost for his highest. Can I get an amen? The daily bread. The daily stale bread. It's good, but it ain't. There's no real. And sometimes, man, at night, when I get my strength and I'm studying, me and God is in there, and I know my wife just goes, he's going to die. He's gonna have a heart attack one night, man. God and I just get in there, and we breathe at each other. I back at you, God.
What you got to say tonight, baby?
Because it's good for the, what? Doctrine. It's good for rebuking. If I'm going to rebuke you, it's based on the word, not what I think, not what the church thinks. Biggest problem with Christian counseling is there's no Christian in the counseling. No word there. It's all psychobabble. Oh, you felt bad about yourself. I'm so sorry. You should go improve your thoughts with yourself. That's psychobabble. The Bible says you think too much of yourself already. Get your mind off of you. Put it on the word of God. Put it on the word. It's good for rebuking. Look at that. Don't leave it. It's good for just the knowledge and the teaching and telling you when you're wrong. But then it'll tell you what you're supposed to do. That's the word. It'll tell you what to do when you don't want to know what to do. Anyone ever been there like me?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm afraid to study. Because I know God's got something he wants to tell me and I don't want to hear it. Anybody else been there?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I don't want to be breathed on tonight. Now, check this out. Training in righteousness. That, so that the man of God may be righteous in all of most of his ways. Is that what it said? All his ways. Knowing this first. Knowing what about the word of God first? What do we know about the word of God first? There is no prophecy of scripture. No prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. Well, Pastor, how do we keep it straight? How about all these years of translations? Let me ask you guys a question. If God is going to judge man on his word, do you think he's probably smart enough, strong enough, and capable enough of keeping it pure?
Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing you don't have to worry about is God's word being changed. God is always going to keep a strong truth somewhere for us to know. Because if he's going to judge you on it, he will be unrighteous if he allowed it to be made wrong. Do I see it? Am I miss a hand? Question? Okay. What kind of interpretation?
Pride.
No pride. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, God did not make just little robots, but he used each man as he were. Moved them in their own interests. Chose them and made it complete by what he does. No private interpretation. Moved by the Holy Ghost. Wobby dog, isn't that something? God, the Spirit, moved in his role to reveal God the Son, who is to allow us to know God the Father, who had on us. There is nothing that moves without the Trinity. And we're going to learn that if you're not praying using the Trinity, you don't pray correctly, and that's why your prayer life is weak.
Give an example of what you just said.
We don't have enough weeks.
Okay.
We're going to learn to pray according. You can't pray correctly without the whole, without the Trinity. How many of you ever have heard in Jesus' name? What do you think that means? It's not the end of the prayer. That's not a closing. That's literally biblical. And if you don't understand that it's literally biblical, you're not praying correctly. But ignorance is a bliss at times. Because John 9 tells us if you truly don't know, you're not held accountable. It's after I teach you, you can be held accountable for how you pray. So you still want to get it tonight? I will wait for a little bit. It will revolutionize your prayer life if you learn how to pray with the Trinity. And we'll get into that. Scope of Scripture. Character of Scripture. No private interpretation. God breathed. Are we having fun yet? Scope of Scripture. I don't think that's too much left out. Now, what we're doing now, you guys have already practiced by going and getting verses because we started at the end of phase 7 and 8. But the first sections, I have the verses for you up here. After about the second week, third week or so, you guys are going to have to look the scriptures up and you're going to have to be doing the reading. I want to break in easy. It's kind of like running the mile, but we'll start off with a 100-yard dash. Make it a little easier for you. Mark 12:24-20. And Jesus answered and said unto them, do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures? Why does most people make mistakes when it comes to Christianity? Don't know the word. What is the only thing that's true about God? What's the only place you can find what God said about himself? And if it is not the word, it is? Don't forget. Therefore, they err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. Guess what happens when you know the word of God? You know his power. His omnipotence. His omnipotence. That's a big word in my neighborhood. He's omnipotent. Do you know that God lends his power to anything that has power? That's why God could get in the walls of Jericho, remove the power of gravity, and make the walls of Jericho fall out instead of in when it fell. So they looked like steps for the Israelites to walk up. That's why they were paralyzed inside Jericho when you build walls inside to protect you and they fall out. That will get your attention. Can I have an amen, somebody? Oh, you got this class is boring. Woo! I'm talking about God getting in water. Put his power in water and make the Red Sea split. Break the Jordan. Guys, you have to know something. Are you ready for this? God broke the Jordan and the water never built up on the right side. If you put a dam up, what happens to the water? It backs up. God split the Jordan, split the Red Sea, and the water never would have kept flowing. Dude! Talk to the pastor. Would that blow your mind? Just that alone. And you know how the critics are. All the critics go, well, it was really the Red Sea, which it was. I mean, it was a Red Sea. And it was only 10 inches deep. And that part of the Red Sea. I go, how you explain that, pastor? Miracle! God drowned all of Pharaoh's army in 10 inches of water. And the biggest trick was getting them horses to hold their nose down there. The power of God. You see, when you got the power of God, when you know the scriptures, you know he can do anything he wants when he wants. He's got the power to leave you sick. All the medicine, all the doctors, all the smarts, if he wants you to stay sick, guess what? Medicine's not going to work.
Isn't that amazing?
We're going to pray for this class for 1 week. Is it over? Somebody got to put a clock in the back.
There's two of them right there.
Yeah, but I got my back to them. You know? You want me to preach with my back towards? Oh, you saying I'm not ugly? I can catch a hint. Well, shall we start there? Let's finish this one at least, right? And when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. You err on doctrine. You err on the future. You err on what is going to happen, what has happened, what is happening, because you don't know the... So the scope of Scripture, it covers everything. We'll get into it next week. Father, thank you so much for your word. Sorry we're late, but I'm not really sorry. Amen.